Hello, everybody. Welcome. Game Ball Pod News Hour here. Big Mark on the screen. I know Jonathan has been looking forward to this all night. I'm back. So, yeah. I realized today as I was thinking about it, the opening section here where I'm playing a lot of games might end up just being me talking about the games I stream. Because I haven't really had any free time to play anything except like NHL 24, or 23, which is essentially just, you know, me playing it while something's playing on YouTube in the background. So nothing really to talk about. So maybe I'll just walk through how I've been thinking about, the streams that I've been doing. And then we can, you know, sort of discuss it from there. So, start off with, Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island. Yeah, having a ton of fun with it. I'm figuring out that there are two ways to be unsuccessful at that game. And the game's easiness is meant for just going for the ending, and the toughness is trying to 100% and get all the stars, flowers, and red coin as you go along there. So, you know, and the two ways you can get, death in it is that, you know, you either get greedy and try to get everything on screen and don't really pay attention, or you're not good enough at the platforming to, recover from a mistake or anything like that, and you just die. Or, in my case, you kind of rush too quickly and don't pay attention to the dangers around you and then fall into a pit, or you lose Mario or something like that. So really it's just finding that middle ground, for me on finishing levels, not really caring what my score is, and getting through it. But I think the main thing, and yes, Night Duck, you're correct. That's probably every Nintendo game. You can probably break it down the same way. I just saw it just really clearly in this one, because this game is slightly toned down on the easier side just because, it's late Super Nintendo. It's probably meant for younger children anyway. But the one thing I'd say absolutely for sure is that I am really, really enjoying the castles. The middle and the ends of each world, in quotes. They're all been different, as they usually are in most Mario games. None of them have been frustrating or have a stupid mechanic to it. It's all pretty easy to figure out. The bosses have been pretty fun to figure out. I only had to slightly look up one because I kind of knew what they wanted me to do, but I couldn't figure out how to actually do it. And then I looked it up and remembered a mechanic they told me about, early in the playthrough about bouncing the eggs off and hitting behind you. So killing that ghost boss, once I did that, I was able to kill it, but I kept trying to like spit the egg turn and just kind of do that. So I had the idea. I just didn't get the, you know, call and response with it. Bouncing off the wall while my back was turned. So once we figure that out, done. And I think that's where this game shines, is just the diversity in the boss battles so far. And it's always something you learn in the level. You usually end up taking into the boss battle and figuring out. So I just had the one where I end up in the frog's digestive system, and that was fun. Figuring out to roll the eggs around at the thing to make him, I guess, shit me out? I don't know what they were going for there. I thought it was going to be a vomit situation, but we went south instead of north once we made him sick. So, I guess. It was a good twist on what happens. Normally, Kamek comes out and makes the boss bigger or huge or, you know, changes something about it. But in this case, it makes you small. So it's a nice little twist on that play there. That playthrough's going well. I should have it done by the time Tom comes back, hopefully. I'm limiting myself to 1 hour per session in there. Just to make it kind of fair. Because I could probably get through, in a normal 2 hour, I could probably get through a whole world. But, you know, it makes a little bit more limiting. It makes me maybe not want to speed run, but sort of, you know, get to the end of levels instead of dicking around too much. So, looking forward to this time. I did try to go one step further than half a world, and I was totally messing up. It's done. Beat it in one rental period. It's a good thought for the next game. like, we'll make each stream, like, a day of a rental period, and I gotta try and get as far as I can within, we'll say, 3 or 4 stream. So, that'd be interesting. That's a good twist on it, Night Duck. And the other game, Persona 3 Reload, absolutely loving that game. We're finally hitting the point where it's got me. Like, I'm ready to go. Let's keep rolling. I had to do 4, 5, 6 hour plus streams, just going forward with the story. I love how all the social stuff's coming together, all the teammate relationship stuff. Everything's just sort of coming to a head now as we're at the midway point, probably, or close to it. I think that, we're a little below. We're at the 5th boss, I believe. So a little bit below. Yep, finally locked and loaded in P3. Yeah, obviously the beginning of this is a little bit slower than P5, especially P4 or 2. Like, it has you do the social stuff, do school stuff, do Tartarus, repeat. Then Moon comes, you do, and it's just like, there was no, like, overarching story happened for at least 2 to 3, like, sessions. I should say sessions meaning full moon to full moon. And it just took a little too long to get that started. And now we got the other group of antagonists. We're finding out all the connections between us and why we probably all have personas. You know, we're figuring out what the backstory is, for one of our major characters, and, you know, why it's connected to everything. And just going, we had our beach episode, which are always fun. And, you know, we're just getting to that point where the momentum's starting to kick in. In P5, it probably happens in the, what's it called? The second one is, the Madarame, where you start really kicking into high gear, with that, and that's way earlier than this, in terms of gameplay. All the characters so far are great. There are some of the side characters that are not so well written, but, again, this is coming from somebody that's essentially playing the game backwards. Like, Memorial Day weekend's always a good time for a beach weekend. And then I guess Golden Week might be a Japanese equivalent or something. I don't know. But anyway, you know, playing P5 all the way through. I played P4 before that all the way through. And, you know, playing it backwards to, even when I was playing original PS2, you know, or PSP Fez, that was the last one I started. So you've already seen all the improvements that they made on the concept. So playing the original of the concept, here is you see the things that are lacking. You see the quality of life stuff that's not there. You see where they haven't really figured out how to make all the connections. Where they learned in P4 and P5 to have the dungeons match something with the characters or be related to the characters in some fashion. So, you know, essentially you're just, you know, in this one, you're kind of just, the social stuff and the learning about characters is separate from the actual action, which is different from the other two games. But it's not to say this game is really good. Improvements I've seen from, you know, Reload from the original, because this is more a remake of the original than a Fez, or Persona 3 Portable or anything like that. Voice acting's terrific. I don't know if they had people come and re-record the lines or they just, you know, remastered the vocals or whatever. But the, just everything overall, the choices you get to do between, you know, have some fun, but not as quirky as some of the other things you could do in future games. But I'm looking forward to Saturday. Probably going to start that a little earlier, maybe like a 7:30, just so we can go a good 3.5-4 hours and it not be like almost 1 in the morning like it was last Saturday. So, essentially, join us for the long haul on Saturday. I'm very excited to get into the meat of that game. And then, obviously, Thursdays, we're starting Cyberpunk 2077 2.0 update. I beat original 1.0 on PC before many of the patches or any of the updates. So coming back to this, you know, learning how they've changed a bunch of stuff, especially, you know, the hacking and net running and stuff like that, is sort of a learning curve a little bit, but I'm starting to pick it up. I feel like I got to use my weapon a little bit more than I did in the past. But maybe that's just me forgetting and just only having the memories of the great net running stuff that you were able to do. You know, the hacking to be able to clear out a room. Just kind of figuring out the new stuff. Yeah, so good question, Vince. For those of you watching on Twitch, you can join us in the chat. Ask me any questions during it. I will gladly interrupt the show at any point to discuss with you. Best thing to do would be just to hit us up on Twitter at Game Vault Pod. That's probably the easiest way. Or leave a comment on the YouTube videos. I'll get to see those as well. Or just ask them here. But yeah, those are probably the three best spots to find us. So we're at Game Vault Pod. I should probably get more into the Discord, but I never really understood or figured out, the whole Discord aspect. Maybe I should learn to jump into that. But for now, we might switch that to Discord. Essentially, I barely looked at the Discord. I think that's my problem, is I don't think to go there. That's just on me. That's not a... Okay, let's backtrack. I understand Discord. I just don't think to use it. And, I'm used to some of the older ways of reaching out to stuff. we'll backtrack that. I understand how it works. I get message boards. I get posting to stuff and, the aspect to that. I understand all of that. I'm not that old of a person. I just don't think to do that. My first instinct is say, hey, find me on Twitter or do the comments on YouTube rather than say, hey, go to our Discord. Maybe we'll have to change that now. That might make it a little easier on myself here. So yeah, this is what the news hour is for. It allows the interaction that I really can't do during most gameplay. I'm going to talk this out with you guys. Maybe I can make a goal for next week, to get the Discord up to snuff a little bit more. I would love help from you guys, the ones that are a little more, experienced with it, to get the ball rolling in there. But I think that that is probably the next step here. It's a good idea. And thanks for bringing it up, Vince, to sort of get this idea going. For now, until, say, if you're watching this live, we'll say Monday, because my weekend's pretty busy outside of the streaming to really jump into Discord before then. But if you want to put stuff in there and I'll see it on Monday, just don't think I'll see it this weekend. If you're asking me anything with time-sensitive answers required. To it. So, yeah. So, we'll go ahead and do that. Switching back, Cyberpunk, we played for about an hour and a half last time. I got everything up to the All Foods mission. We went through the mock stuff. I think I was a little more tired from work than I thought, so the, Dexter Deshawn part, and then the Evelyn Parker part, outside of the beauty that is Judy, shows up, and, the BD and stuff like that. I kind of got worn out by the end there. I did have a crazy crash thing right at the end. Not crash in terms of the game, but some car just went flying off the road for no reason and got scared of me and almost blew themselves up in their own car. I'm going to clip that, for the highlight on the Twitch. It's at the very end of the episode. If you guys want to watch the VOD to see that happen. Cyberpunk's great so far. Like I said, I'm just learning the new upgrade system, the new way hacking works. Just getting my feet wet again with weapons. And I it took me a little while to remember how to, change my gun mid-fight and all that. I was pressing every button I remembered from other games, and here it was Y. I think we're rolling good there. I can't wait for next Thursday. And as I had said earlier, I'm getting my Tuesdays back, with bowling being done. We finished second. And I know some people say number two is the first loser, but in a league where they give out money and second place gets money, second place is absolutely fine. We're getting there in terms of freeing up some time on Tuesdays and every other Wednesdays, basically, where I can play games outside of what I'm streaming for you guys, just so we have other things to talk about besides what has already been broadcast on the internet and on YouTube at some points in time. I'll play some other stuff like the crab game we were talking about. Yes, when I'm counting those cold green bucks, number number two is absolutely fine. Yeah, so that's why I hope to, you know, get some more games in for you. And then Sunday, of course, we're going to be starting, if you're watching this live, or if you're watching this recorded or listening to the podcast, we play Fallout on Sunday. It's coming up in the news. I got a bunch of Fallout stuff because it's Bethesda, so this new thing has been really fun, we'll say. The new up next gen release thing. So we're going to try that out on Sunday. I've been playing some Fallout 76 too. The only thing I regret on Fallout 76, which I didn't mention last time, I haven't played it this week, but I did play it before last week's show, is that I'm regretting starting off at the bottom level tier instead of just taking the free up to level 20 thing. That was a me thing that I should have done. But it'll just take me a little longer to get to more powerful stuff. But I am enjoying it. I thought, don't give me all that. I got 20. I can level up myself. And I think I'm already at like level 5 or 6 or 7, and I didn't play it for that long. So it's not going to be too hard to get up to 20, per se. But yeah, I should have just jumped in it. Excuse me. Yeah, so yeah, that's about all I've been playing. Haven't no video game TV series to talk about or games. We do have some video game movie news in the news. But speaking of that, let's switch on. Oh, capture. That's our YouTube channel. Hello. Please follow us on YouTube. Yeah, so our first story. The next gen update has basically, for at least the time being, killed the Fallout London mod expansion that was coming for Fallout 4. Team Fallen, or Fallon, has been working on a mod to do Fallout in London that would play off of Fallout 4. It was as big as a DLC normally, but they were set to release that, I believe it says April 23rd, and then Bethesda's surprise drop the next gen update for April 25th and didn't mention anything to anybody, even though I believe this developer has some kind of, you know, relationship with Bethesda in terms to make a mod this big. It's just sort of, yeah, it's been a little bit of a mess, as most Bethesda things are. So now they just don't know when they'll be able to release it. Because I guess they got to make sure nothing they made is broken now because of the update. So they are just, you know, doing what they can to figure it out. And the thing they keep pointing to is that all of their updates and videos and trailers have all done better than any official Bethesda stuff has put out. So, and as Night Duck says in the chat, you know, this happened and then Frost, you know, another thing on that was affected by this. Thing, you know, just, you know, shut down support to anything until they fix the shit show. So if you're looking for Fallout London, you know, just sort of, you have to wait longer. So, and yeah, so as I mentioned, the game is riddled with bugs. You know, as you see in this photo here, dog meat just going into the ground here. You know, yeah, so yeah, the Steam version had the most technical issues. PlayStation players, some of them can't even get the update at all. Xbox players don't have access to the game's quality mode. You know, meaning they can't get the 4K resolution on ultra settings. You know, the 60 frames per second on the performance mode is the only thing that works right now. You know, basically Steam is, you know, just a mess, and, you know, and it's just, you know, crashes and things. Yeah, so Bethesda is scrambling to try and figure out about the PS5 issue. They're making them buy the $20 game instead of just getting it for free, like Xbox got and PC got. And then you're getting these textures, and it's just been a mess. And the speed of the game is tied to frame rate. Yeah, that's why I'm looking forward to Sunday's stream. I want to see how fucked up it is when we get in there. That's why I've been cautioning. Hey, Goat, how you doing? Welcome to the News Hour. We're talking about how fucked up the new Fallout next gen is. update is. So I'm looking forward to Sunday for that reason. Yeah, possibly. That might have been a good idea. Maybe not. Don't burn out your devs, as Night Duck says. You know, maybe that could have helped this situation at all. But yeah, I heard I don't know what the timelines matched up, but somebody said, like, if they knew about the Fallout TV series, that I wonder if they're kicking themselves that they didn't line up Fallout 6 for now instead of releasing Starfield. But obviously it takes longer to develop games than the TV series, so maybe they didn't know. But yeah, they didn't have a new product to release alongside of this. So this is what we get, and it's a mess, as most of these are. As I've been cautioning everybody, I said the Sunday Fallout streams may be a week or two at most, if this game is broken or anything, to the sort. So, we'll see. We're having fun, so far, in terms of this. Bethesda at its best. Alright, and then on to actual non-Fallout news. FCC voted to, restore net neutrality. Hey! A step in the right direction from when, you know, net neutrality got, the regulations, I think everything went, stopped in 20, was repealed in 2017, and, it just sort of, this is a good thing from as far as I know about it. Maybe you guys know a little bit deeper than I, but yeah, net neutrality, thumbs up, we're back. I don't know if it's bringing everything back. We're regulating pricing or anything like that, but, this is a big, big move for the internet, here. Hype, as Night Duck says. Everything's a mess right now, as Goat says. Fallout's a mess. Diablo Season 4 got pushed back a month. Maybe you shouldn't burn out your developers. Maybe let things cook a little bit longer. It'd be good. I don't know when Star's original release date was. That was, what, 11/11/22 or 23, something like that. It was a thing that came up in the console. I think it might have been 11/11/22. So that's the thing. Like, I think that's the one thing, they didn't know how popular the series would be, so they didn't line up Fallout with it. But so net neutrality, yay. I saw this immediately and was like, gotta talk about it, even though I might not be as educated about it, outside of I know it's a good thing, and that it was shitty that it was repealed in 2017. But, this was good news. Yeah, Helldivers 2. I think everybody should realize out there, maybe give your time to let your developers cook, and you see a Helldivers 2, you see a Baldur's Gate 3, and you're like, hey, give our team some time. Maybe don't make them rush to release on these arbitrary deadlines or, when you think you have to hit the market. And you get these popular games that millions of people are playing and are not pissed off about. Sure, they probably have their bugs and stuff. Most games do. Baldur's Gate 3 has some issues that happen. But the games are so, functioning properly that you don't have these issues. Just let your developers cook, man. It always goes back to, probably mentioned a million times on the podcast or, millions of streams. I don't know if he was the first one to ever say it, but it's the one that I always heard. The famous Miyamoto quote of, a bad game is always a bad game. And a delayed game, can become a good game. So, I might have butchered that a little bit. But that's the thing. You can release a bad game, it'll always be a bad game. If you delay it to make it better, it will be better. You've never had a game that you've delayed that was as bad as it would have been when you first released it. Maybe I am an idealist, Night Duck. Maybe I am. But it goes to show you that that's why a very, very high percentage of Nintendo games are good. You do have, in terms of releasing without bugs, you do have your occasional, your Pokemon stuff, and all that. Does look like I'm dropping frames again, so I do apologize. Move on here. Blizzard is, that's true. Maybe it's the exception that proves the rule. Night Duck. Or maybe it's just Bethesda. Maybe Bethesda's just shit at making games and we just take it because the stories were good. But anyway, BlizzCon canceled. Blizzard canceled BlizzCon 2024. Promised a return. Their statement said, over the next few months, we will be sharing more details about our launches coming this year, including World of Warcraft, The War Within, and Diablo 4's first expansion, Vessel of Hatred. To celebrate these upcoming releases and to bring our communities together in new and special ways, we will soon share exciting plans for our other industry trade shows and conventions like Gamescom. We can't wait to tell you more about these plans. We also look forward to the Overwatch Champions series stops at both DreamHack Dallas and DreamHack Stockholm. And we are thrilled to be planning multiple global in-person events to commemorate the 30th anniversary of Warcraft, which will be held in addition to the in-game celebrations across our Warcraft games in 2024. While these events are distinct from BlizzCon, we are harnessing all of our creativity and imagination to ensure that they carry the same spirit and of celebration and togetherness. So, BlizzCon was just getting back on its feet, fully canceled, pandemic for obvious reasons. Was digital in 2021, as it says here. Then went on hiatus in 2022. And then last year was the first in-person one since pre-pandemic. And now they're canceling this one. So, yeah. Essentially, I don't know. BlizzCon, was usually, like they said, where they usually make most of their announcements. And if they don't have a lot of stuff to announce, why have it? Maybe the yearly cadence isn't a good thing. Maybe they just want to avoid all the maybe negative press from layoffs and stuff like that. But, yeah, so if you were planning on going to BlizzCon, it is not happening. You can, I guess, wait for them to show up at Summer Games Fest or sometime during Key 3. In June, and definitely Gamescom, maybe Tokyo Game Show, just things like that instead of their own thing. All right, up next, this led to one of the, double take situations I did while on Twitter, where you can follow the, trending topics, and the trending topic on mine just said, as you see on the screen here, hard R. And I had thought somebody had just dropped the hard R somewhere famous. But no, it was this art in Stellar Blade here that will be removed, thankfully, in the day one patch. They claim it was unintentional, but come on. For those of you watching on Twitch, did that, or on YouTube, you could have picked A, any other word than the word hard, or B, any other letter than R there, and it would have been fine. I think someone tried to slip this in, thought it was a fun joke for the internet, and didn't realize a lot of people would be like, basically, what the fuck? Not a great look. Stellar Blade already has the, I believe this is the one that, has the boob physics and stuff like that, so they're already on the watch list for, people that think video games are just played by antisocial people that just are full, young males that are full of hatred. So this doesn't help, but I do say the funny thing that came out of it was trying to wrap my head around the idea of a trending topic on Twitter being hard R and having nothing to do with the dozens of things that could have went on Twitter that hard R could have matched. And yes, as Night Duck says, there's a lot of rancid stuff, with the Stellar Blade thing and around it and all that, that, forgive me, I don't think this was unintentional. I don't think it was meant in a racist way. I think they were just trying for a wink, wink, nod, nod sort of laugh that they thought was funny and dark and edgy, to gain press or to get things all over, the thing. Popularity by being edgy. It wasn't unintentional. Now, it could very well have been, a racist asshole that just wanted to get this into a game, sure. But I would think you'd have to be kind of stupid to do it with that mindset. And for some reason, I think those people might have been a little bit better at covering it up than whoever made this. So, yeah. I was already avoiding Stellar Blade a little bit. This isn't helping. Okay. Maybe I haven't read the statements from the devs, and I'm giving them a benefit of the doubt here. But I will trust Jonathan and Night Duck that maybe I'm wrong giving too much of a benefit of the doubt here to the devs. I tend to do that for things. But the one thing we can all agree on in this chat and on this video and on this podcast is that this was 100% not unintentional. This was either for the lulz or racist. That or say the lulz at best, racist at worst. So, yeah. Yeah, I haven't really paid much attention to this release since seeing some of the stuff going around from the demo release. So, thank you for clarifying that. That is why I love for you guys to come in on Friday nights and join us in the chat. You can always give me some more information to the news story that I'm reading out. We can chat about it. We can, like, have conversations in terms of, you know, we're talking about Fallout and things like that. That's why I love twitch.tv/GameVaultPod. I'm here live Fridays, 9 p.m. usually. Tonight we started a little late. But, yeah. This is what I like. I like this interaction here. As Night Duck said, he gets to yell at me in person now instead of listening to me on a podcast and yelling in his alone in his house. All right, next up. Valve closes the refund loopholes, which basically allowed you to, I guess, from what I was reading, I was trying to get this, maybe if you guys know a little bit better than this, that they were able to buy, like, the special editions, get them 3 days early, but the policy only started into effect when the game's actual release date took place. That's what I got from reading this. So, like, you could buy the Ultimate Edition, get it 3 days early, and then the day it released, like an hour or two after it released, you can ask for a refund. And you would be under the hour limit or whatever the limit was because you were doing it on release day, even though you had been able to play it for the last, you know, 3 days. I think that's the loophole they fixed here. So good to see that. And this is a game right here in the center, Topspin 2K25, that I'm looking forward to picking up at some point because I've been looking for a good tennis game for a long time. Yeah. And they are now calling it Advanced Access, as you see at the top here. That does not allow you to, you know, do that. So, yeah. As it says right at the bottom, if you guys are reading live here, essentially said what I just said. Any playtime will count, even the early access stuff. And it's not just on the release of the game. So, yeah. Stop trying to beat the system. You know, it only hurts the devs. So, I don't mind people refunding for a broken game, refunding because they didn't like the game, you know, in the first, after playing it for like 2 hours. That's fine. It's this shit where you could have been playing the game for 3 days and possibly beat it and then refund. Like, there should definitely be a tracker of how far into a game you are to stop it. I think that's what they're kind of doing now, but I never understood how that wasn't part of the, like, even because the policy like that would have caught this loophole a lot earlier, if they were just going by, you know, hours played in the game instead of hours played since arbitrary date. So. And, so, this, I only want to put on just for the laughs. So, you remember that $34.99 Apple Vision device that got put out there? Well, shockingly, there was unexpectedly low demand for a $3,500 VR system. So Apple is cutting down shipments on it. So, yeah, they, according to this, they only got between 400,000 and 450,000. You know, that's how many shipments they sent out. They were expecting to send out double that, like between 700,000 and 800,000. So, shocking that the ridiculously priced thing is not selling well. Who knew? And the sad part is, not sad, because, you know, about capitalism, but even if they cut it in half, it's still four figures in price. Yeah. You see why things like MetaQuest sell well, and even the, you know, Valve's thing, you know, that was around 1,000 or a little bit over. Because even if it got up to, especially the stuff that I need to plug into the computer, even if combined with the PC that you needed to buy, would get close to this price or a little bit under, or like around $2,000 even, combined between buying the headset and buying having enough a powerful enough PC at the time. The PC has other uses outside of just the VR thing. This is $3,500 for just the VR thing. So, yeah, this was doomed from the beginning. So I saw this headline and I was absolutely, you know, I just laughed about it. You know, even if it's not true, even if this thing had other uses that could have been done, it's hard to justify $3,500. It really is. It has to be like cream of the crop stuff. Like, I don't even know what you could, when you have things that are pretty good at much, much cheaper prices. It does just scream like the $600 PS3. You know, just completely overreading the market. All right. So those are our normal updates. I haven't seen anything for Plus or Game Pass. Those will probably come next week. But we get two new games for the Nintendo Switch online for the second tier. We're getting Extreme G and Iggy's Wrecking Balls. You know, get a couple more racing games on there. The one thing about the N64 Nintendo Switch Online is that they keep putting games out there that I could see, you know, people finding them, like racing games and other things like that, that could find a second life or you could introduce to a younger child and get them interacting to play with you. I saw some people asking for Quest 64 online, probably jokingly, but I don't think a game like that might ever come. But yeah, I think these two games are perfect. Yeah, it's just really good that they're kind of picking some of these little mid-tier in terms of quality, but games that those of us that lived through the N64 era know about these games and probably maybe have a you know, tie to one of them or another. So they keep getting some good choices out there, still leaving some things off the table, but that could just be. And last but not least, you have probably been spying this if you've been looking up in the upper left-hand corner as our last story of the day, which is the Sonic the Hedgehog 3 movie. You know, has there's two bit parts to this. I only pulled the one story. You know, Keanu Reeves is going to be Shadow. I probably should have mentioned that, you know, last week in the news, but I had missed it, so I want to make sure I got it here. I believe this is, you know, the April 16th, I think, edition of the IGN Fix thing. But the other thing that popped up is a very interesting thing. Let me just pause this video. Is that, as this story says here on the right, yes, the Sonic movie will take a lot from Sonic Adventure 2, which I think is a very good idea in the sense that if you're going to introduce Shadow, you have to sort of, you know, you go from probably the first game he's introduced in, for real, rather than trying to pick from the Shadow the Hedgehog game. And plus most people, there's like a cult niche love for Sonic Adventure 2 over Sonic Adventure. I didn't really like Sonic Adventure. I famously traded it back in after buying the Dreamcast on day one. But I love the idea that they're going to take a lot of the story from Sonic Adventure 2. Because I feel it fits what they've been doing with the Sonic thing. True. I think a lot of us that lived through, as I said before, that era of Sonic transitioning from the Genesis form of Sonic, even through Sonic 3D on, or CDR, or whatever was on Saturn, into Dreamcast, prefer Sonic Adventure 2 over Sonic Adventure. But I don't think there's, like, this loud clamoring from non, you know, Sega fans and stuff. But those of us in the know, and if you know, you know, that this, fact that they're taking from Sonic Adventure 2 is probably the best case scenario. I was really nervous when they announced Shadow at the end of 2 that they were going to more focus on the his separate game and sort of, you know, have storyline from that be in it. So this really made me excited. I thought it'd be a great final story to end on, because I'm reasonably excited about it. I just think they're solid movies. They're not great, in terms of like, all time, you know, top 100 list movies of all time or anything like that. But they're a lot better. I would say this, they're a lot better than they should be, to be honest. So Sonic 3, you know, looking good. I haven't checked out that Knuckles series. I don't know if anybody has checked out Knuckles. Maybe you can give me some pointers on that. Sonic Adventure Tuesday. There we go, Night Duck. So, yeah. Yeah, thank you guys for joining me. That has been the News Hour. As I said, I believe I said it on the Monday stream this week. I think I'm going to start splicing in for the Twitch and YouTube people. Maybe we'll watch some trailers, or we'll watch a press conference or a direct before the News Hour, and just discuss that between us. Maybe sort of as like a little warm up before I go into this. And then for the podcast prime or proper here. So yeah, I think that might be something we'll be doing in the future. Yeah. So, and as mentioned, if you were here earlier, you can reach out to us on Twitter, YouTube comments, our Discord, Game Ball Pods Discord. I'm sure Night Duck, or anybody else that's kind of in it now, can help people before I do a deep dive into it, next week. To, you know, help with invites and stuff like that. You can ask questions there. You can drop ideas for this show, especially maybe other streams I do. But we're gonna kickstart that Discord starting next week. So that's why I love this show. Interaction, I get feedback, and we come up with an idea. So we'll go from there. In terms of the streaming, I will be back Monday. Well, for the podcast people, I'll be back Monday for Super Mario World 2. Thursday for Cyberpunk. Friday we'll be back for this. And then Saturday is Persona 3. And then Sunday might be episode 2 of Fallout. So, you know, be sure to check those out. We're all at twitch.tv/GameVaultPod. For those of you watching live, I will be here tomorrow for Fallout, Persona 3, and then Fallout on Sunday. So, look forward to seeing you all there. Once again, feel free to hit us up on socials, over on the Discord. Be glad to hear from you. So, until I lose my voice, or I should say, before I lose my voice, it's been a great show, and we'll see you next time. Bye!